Sometimes it's hard to speak because either you have nothing to say or too much to say. But I learned that there's two ways to spell the word love. L-O-V-E and F-A-T-H-E-R. I use both. Love and greetings from my precious wife, and we have a couple of beautiful team members, Paula and Kalev, or Antti, you know him as well. He has both names. And greetings and love from them. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your children. We thank you for the more perfect way. Thank you that this way is so perfect that our eyes cannot even perceive it, how perfect it is, because it's clouded from us at this time. But thank you for your perfection. Thank you that you know what you do, even though many times we do not know. And just minister to our hearts, but it's also us ministering back to you what you give to us. And then that spills out to the world. So we're so privileged that the gospel made the way. Thank you for this pulpit that has faithfully transmitted the message. If it's Pastor Schaller, Pastor Sibeli, or anyone else. Thank you that what we have heard has absolutely come from your throne. And we just thank you. We just praise you in your precious name. Amen, amen, amen. I enjoyed so much last night also the message about Jonah. But this is how the love of the Father is. Jonah failed. We say Yonah in Hebrew. Yonah simply means a dove. So dove, the Holy Spirit, was he really in the Spirit when he went? Well, but in his failure, he produced the sign of Jonah. Our Master and our Messiah said, this generation will not be given any other sign than the sign of Jonah. There was a very amazing grave discovered in Jerusalem, pretty near to the place where we live right now. And it was a rich man's grave. It had a little cross, and it had a picture of the sign of Jonah and a scroll which had the book of Jonah. And the archaeologists believe that it belonged to Yosef of Harmatai, in other words, Joseph of Arimathea, how do you say it? So it was probably his grave, and he also carried the sign of Jonah. You know what that tells me? In the Father's work, when we are sent by his Son, now we shouldn't have that attitude that Jonah had, but there's no fear of failure. Even if we fail, God is going to do something out of it. God is just awesome. God is just perfect. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, one of my favorite verses is 31 at verse 9. Well, the whole book is a favorite verse. I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. This is amazing. When the fatherless spirit reigns, the spirit of orphan reigns in Israel, as it does now, there's a drive to be like all the other nations, and the awesomely sad event that happened in Tel Aviv. I don't want to even talk about it. But that comes from the orphan spirit to create the counterfeit reality. How sad. We, in Israel, the whole nation, we feel like the whole world is against us. We live in a memory of the awful Holocaust. And our prime minister wrote a book called A Place Among the Nations. Just give us a place among nations. Just one place. That's one corner. We don't even demand to be like a great thing in the world. Just a place among the nations. But what does God say? I'm a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. I have greater things for you. And you will know it when you will be like the brothers of Joseph. And in the moment of your greatest need, you will see it is our brother. And his first statement is, I am Joseph. Does my father live? He is always about the father. Now, Pastor Matti, who's an awesome servant of God, but we have a middle wall of a partition as far as the countries are concerned. I cannot travel from where I am to him. We have no diplomatic relations. But he's working in a country where is another type of an orphan spirit. That orphan spirit over there is like the cry of Ishmael. And not that all Arabs are descendants of Ishmael, but it's like that sad cry that you hear in the mosques. I don't want to repeat it, but that's a cry of sadness. We are rejected, like the cry of rejection. But God says, no. If I've allowed something to be taken from you, I will give twice more. Just like he said, well, let me now go to a different text. But there's a way. There's a way. And he says, in my father's house are many mansions. The father's house is big. Very big. When Pastor Scheller shared yesterday that question, do we care? There's so many people out there. Now, do we care? That's the heart of God for Israel. We are in a very difficult situation because we're getting a lot of fireworks from Gaza. They just keep shooting. And our government told them that you have to stop. We don't want to start another war. But you already started it. So stop now, and we're okay with it. But we don't know where it goes. They have to keep doing it because they are driven with the wrong father. Oh, God, help our generation. When we look at the trends in the world today, how have we come to this where we are? Science, oh my goodness, driven by the father of lies, who could not create a world. He says, I create my own counterfeit world. It's called evolution. And the advertisement world shows the most miserable face. And there's no joy in these faces when they advertise something, because it appeals to the orphan spirit in us. But let's talk about better things. Let's talk about the true Father. You know, it's amazing. In the book of the Bible, in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, 9, verse 26. Wow, this love is so great. We don't even have to fear any failure. We don't have to fear. If the Lord is calling anybody this week to take a step to go to some team, new place, established place, we're so established in the Father's love in the Son. We don't have to fear the future or failure. Okay, verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Why would we be ashamed of him? Because there's a spirit in the world. There's an energy in the world that you gotta agree with us. You gotta be anti-gospel and anti-honor code and anti these things. Otherwise, you don't belong. Ah, but that's the wrong house. Don't bring me to the house of orphans. Don't bring me to the house of the orphan spirit. I'm in the Father's house. Where's the Father and the Lamb and all of you? And we all feel the same way. So, but people that want to be ashamed of him, he says, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. How sad. When he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels, there is glory coming from the Father. Glory is more than significance. Glory is something that comes outside of us from that which is on the inside. The Father's love, the fellowship of the Father and the Son, and that amazing kingdom that we are receiving right now. Hebrews 12 says that we are receiving the kingdom. We have received it, we will receive it, but actually we are receiving it right now by sitting here, by hearing of faith. That love is transmitted to us. But then he says, I tell you of the truth, there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And they were about to see it in a few moments. And they would not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of Father, there is a kingdom where there's no death, where death has been conquered. But then he shows them something that is very helpful to us. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering, just like shining. What was happening? The Father was showing them who he really is. What is on the inside of him came to outside. In the wilderness, there was a tabernacle. You could look at the tabernacle from outside, and it looks sort of like a Bedouin tent. It has an interesting cover, and that's really what the house of God is and what the church of God is. It looks very simple, and it has a simple cover, and it doesn't seem to have too much value. Why? Because God hides himself. He hides the greatest things from the flesh and blood. Verily thou art God that hidest thyself. He hides the path of love, but he writes it into our hearts with the pen of the Spirit. And then he leads us and guides us. Some of us are called to be here. Some of us are called to be out there. But it is the way of love and the hidden way. And so his raiment was shining. And verse 30, behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Eliah, or Elias, you say, right? Who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We have a privilege to live in the capital of the world. Well, future capital of the world, but we look at it that way. And your president kind of recognized it. Thank God. Thank God. He really did. We thank God for that. But Jerusalem is not known today what it is. The glory will be moving there, but now he's working in a church. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. So it's amazing when the greatest revelation of the Father and the Son is about to come. They fell asleep. What happened in the garden when he was crying out, oh Father, if it is possible that this cup pass from me, but if not, not my will be done, but thine. And the more heavy he was, heavier he was, he prayed the more earnestly, because he brought it all to the Father. But it's amazing at these points, the eyes were heavy, they fell asleep. This is the reason why the apostle prayed. I pray to the God and the Father, God of our Lord, and the Father of glory, that your eyes will be enlightened. Because this is the kingdom of love. This is the kingdom of power. This is the kingdom of the other garment. And verse 32, when Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And of course, Moses and Elijah, Eliyah, they were representing the law and the power of the Spirit, even in that age. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said to him, said to Yeshua, Jesus, Master, if it's good for us to be here, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Oh my goodness, how many times I've said things that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sure the same is true for all of us. It happened to Jonah. Jonah failed miserably, and he wrote his own book, it seems, and he was supremely honest. But in his failure, he produced that sign of death and resurrection. And he has taken our failures, past, present, and future. He has buried them, and we are risen. And then he says, verse 34, While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Oh, there's only one person who could say the word Father in such a way. That is our Savior. You know, I'm joining him. I'm joining him in this journey. And his relationship is mine to the Father, to the world, to sin, to failure. And that is perfect love. Love you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Okay. For our next speaker, Pastor Juan Franco, coming from the amazing continent of South America. He's from Guayaquil, Ecuador, originally, now serving in Quito. Please welcome him.
We need a mic.
Hola a todos, muy buenos buenos días.
Muy buenos días.
Hola a todos, muy buenos días.
Hello everybody. Good morning.
Gracias a Dios por la oportunidad de estar aquí, Pastor Shala.
Thank you God for the opportunity
Pastor
to be
Stan,
here. Pastor Shala, Pastor
acá.
Stan.
Muchas gracias. Es una bendición enorme estar acá.
It's a great blessing to be here.
Hace vibrar mi corazón.
Makes my heart to vibrate.
Esta mañana quiero compartir algo con ustedes que es una de mis porciones favoritas.
This morning I want to share with you something that is one of my favorite portions from the Bible.
Y está en Lucas 15.
And it's in Luke 15, Luke chapter 15.
Creo que la mayoría de ustedes han escuchado algo de esto.
I believe everybody here has listened something about this.
Lucas 15, versículo...
verse 11 to 14. And it says, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of men said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living."
Esta historia, a veces la pintábamos en el sketchboard.
This story, we do it in the in outreach.
Y la encubríamos con el nombre de perdido y hallado.
And we used to write the title, doing a sketchboard, the title was Lost and Found.
Y la noche de ayer,
and last night,
yo olvidé mi Biblia.
I forgot my Bible.
Y luego estuve muy preocupado, ¿dónde está mi Biblia?
And I was worried, I was looking for my Bible.
Creo que Nancy o Karen me dijeron que hay un lugar aquí que se llama Perdido y Hallado.
And Nancy Hadley or Karen Collins told me there is a place here in the chapel that it says Lost and Found.
Y yo estaba muy emocionado, wow, qué bueno que hay un lugar así.
And I was very happy that there is a place like that here.
Pero hay un hijo aquí que es un hijo amado.
But there is a son here who is a beloved son.
Que tiene altos beneficios.
That it has many benefits, good things.
O privilegios.
And, or privileges.
Está al lado de su padre amado.
He's with his beloved father.
Pero no necesariamente comparte el mismo corazón.
But he does not necessarily share the same heart.
Algo pasaba dentro de él.
Something was happening.
Que fue revelado.
In him that was revealed.
Cuando él pidió su herencia.
When he asked for his portion.
Yo quiero los beneficios.
I want my benefits.
Pero no quería compartir el corazón de su padre.
But he didn't want to share his father's heart.
Y se fue a una provincia lejana.
And he went to a far place.
Para vivir por los beneficios.
To enjoy his benefits.
Pero no por el corazón de su padre.
But not with his father's heart.
Y pensando ayer con Jonás.
And thinking yesterday about Jonah.
Y la calabacera.
And the gourd. And the gourd. Thank you. You speak Spanish very well.
Gracias.
And the gourd.
Y Jonás era muy feliz con la calabacera. Ahora él tiene una buena sombra, está fresco.
And Jonah was very happy with this gourd. He had shade, he was cool.
Pero su felicidad rápidamente se evaporó después que Dios preparó el gusano.
But his happiness promptly disappeared because God gave the gourd the worm.
Igual que el hijo cuando se terminó los beneficios o el dinero.
Exactly the same is what was with the son when he ran out of money and benefits.
Y esto me hace acordar acerca de Jeremías 17:9 sobre el corazón engañoso.
That reminds me of Jeremiah 17:9 about a lying heart.
No sé cuál es la diferencia entre el corazón engañoso y el corazón mañoso. ¿Cómo se dice mañoso?
I don't know the difference between a lying heart and a thief heart.
Pero la escritura dice que el corazón es engañoso.
But the Bible says that the heart is the lies, is deceitful.
Y esto me hace pensar en la segunda cosa.
And that makes me think about another thing.
Un padre que ama sin medida.
A father that loves without measure.
No sé cuántos de ustedes tengan hijos.
I don't know how many of you have children.
Pero es una emoción interesante tener hijos.
But it's a very interesting emotion to have children.
Tengo una hija que tiene 25 años.
I have a 25-year-old daughter.
Y todavía tengo en mi mente la sensación e imagen.
And I still have in my mind the feeling and image.
Cuando la enfermera vino para ponerla en mis brazos.
When the nurse brought her to put her in my arms.
Es como la lotería. Bueno, era para mí como la lotería.
It was like winning the lottery.
Y Pastor Schaller hablaba acerca de las expectativas.
And Pastor Schaller was sharing about the expectations
que tenemos por el cónyuge,
that we have for our spouses, our children,
cosas así,
and things like that.
Y yo me preguntaba mientras escuchaba a Pastor Schaller.
And I was asking myself while listening to Pastor Schaller.
¿Quién no ha tenido expectativas?
Who doesn't or didn't have any expectations?
Yo he tenido expectativas.
I had expectations.
Con mi cónyuge.
About my wife.
Por mi hija.
About my daughter.
Y tengo una nieta preciosa.
And I have a beautiful granddaughter. She's 4 years old.
Es una terremoto.
She's like an earthquake.
Pero también tengo expectativa por ella.
But I also have expectations about her.
Y a veces nuestras expectativas fallan, caen, o and estamos decepcionados.
And sometimes our expectations fail and we are not happy about it.
Pero mientras escuchaba ayer los mensajes,
but while listening to the message yesterday,
Dios hablaba a mi corazón.
God was talking to my heart.
Que las mejores expectativas son aquellas que son de Dios.
And I helped me to understand that the better expectations are the expectations that come from God.
Las expectativas que vienen de Dios,
the expectations that come from God,
son maravillosas.
Are wonderful.
Esto a veces no evita el dolor.
This sometimes does not avoid pain.
Pero Dios es más grande que nuestro dolor.
But God is bigger than our pain.
Estoy pensando en Jesús.
I'm thinking about Jesus.
Que viene a su pueblo.
He comes to his little town.
Y luego cerca de Jerusalén.
And then near Jerusalem.
Él exclama, dice.
He said,
oh, Jerusalén, Jerusalén.
Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem.
Que matas a tus profetas.
Who kills the prophets.
¿Cuántas veces quise juntaros como la gallina junta sus polluelos? Este es Mateo
23:37. Matthew 23:37. And it says in Matthew 23:37, truly, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing.
Esta expectativa,
this expectation,
está en la mente de Jesús,
is in Jesus' mind,
cuando está diciendo esto,
when he is saying this.
Y por eso yo preguntaba cuántos de nosotros somos padres
and
y tenemos expectativas.
I was asking you how many of us are parents and how many do we have expectations.
Pero las expectativas de Dios son perfectas.
But God's expectations are
perfect. Son maravillosas.
They're wonderful.
Y pueden ir más allá de los errores humanos.
And they can go farther than that.
Fallas,
our human mistakes, our
fails, fracasos,
our failures.
Y también puede ir más allá del dolor.
And can go farther than the pain.
Estuve pensando sobre Eliseo.
I was thinking about Elisha.
Eliseo sabía que su padre espiritual iba a ser revivido.
Elisha knew that his spiritual father was going to be taken.
En 2 de Reyes 2:12 en adelante.
In 2 Kings 2:12.
Tres veces.
And three times.
Los hijos de los profetas le dijeron.
The children of the prophets told him.
Hoy tu señor será removido.
Today your master is going to be removed.
Pero más allá de todo, Eliseo tenía una expectativa enorme.
But what Elisha had was a big expectation.
Y en tres tiempos no se despegó de Elías.
And during those three times, he didn't go away or separate from Elijah.
Era como un chicle al lado.
He was like a bubble
chicle
gum.
En el zapato.
He was like gum in your shoe.
Y Elías dice, Dios me ha enviado a tal lugar.
And Elijah said, God asked me to go to this place.
Betel, Jericó.
To Betel, Jericho, and the Jordan.
Y Eliseo dijo, vive Jehová que yo voy contigo.
And Elisha said, I'm going with you.
Y al final Eliseo pidió una doble porción.
And at the end, Elisha asked for a double portion.
Porque puso su expectativa.
Because his expectations.
Más allá de lo natural.
Were farther than the natural things.
Más allá de las circunstancias.
Were beyond the circumstances.
La historia del hijo pródigo,
the prodigal son story,
termina con un final feliz.
Has a happy ending.
El retorno del hijo.
The son returning, the prodigal returning, coming back home.
Que revela un amor sin barrera.
And that reveals a love without barriers.
Y como está. Bueno, estaba allí.
And as it was there,
el camino más excelente, el amor.
The most excellent way, love.
Con una provisión extraordinaria.
With an extraordinary provision.
Y es asombroso.
And it really wonders me.
¿Cómo Dios puede ir más allá del fracaso?
How can God go from failure?
¿Cómo Dios puede ir más allá de la derrota?
How God can go farther than failure?
¿Cómo puede ir más allá de las circunstancias?
The circumstances, farther than the defeat.
Movido por su amor que no tiene límites.
Moved by his love that doesn't have any kind of limitations.
Porque Dios es bueno.
Because God is good.
Y no tiene barreras.
And he doesn't have any kind of boundaries.
Y nos está constantemente llamando y desafiando.
And he's constantly calling us and defying us,
para
challenging
que
us.
Podamos vivir este amor sin barreras.
So we can live this kind of love without boundaries.
En nuestra propia vida.
In our own lives.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Hey, that was our halftime, and the score is 2-0, and we're winning. Israel scored. We had Ecuador. That was amazing. Upper 90, perfect shot. And now Romania is up. The next speaker, my wife and I love very much. We had the privilege of being on his team, my wife longer than I, and we got to see him in action serving in his home and in his church. He proclaims the grace message in a very legalistic part of the world, really. And he reveals the Father's heart in everything he does. So please welcome Pastor Mihail Milia.
If I sing it, will be 2-1. Good morning. Thank you, Andy, very much. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And a warm hello to the church in Brasov watching. We are looking for the face of God. He's telling us to search his face, and his face we are searching. And we are like a vessel. I'm like a vessel filled with a lot of darkness. But when I find his face is leaning against my face as a father to his child, and he fills me with light. So I'm searching for his face, and I searched his face on the throne of power. I didn't find it on the throne of anger, justice. I didn't find it. And it was on the throne of grace. I found it there. He said, come boldly, boldly to the throne of grace. There I find the heart of God. And that is what we preach, his heart, and we found him. In Luke 16, there is a parable about a rich man who had many things, and he had an administrator. And in verse 1, this administrator was accused before the master that he's wasting his riches. Now, this is an interesting accusation. You are wasting. So then in verse 2 from Luke 16, he's called to, he will be judged. Like, let's see what you're doing. What do I hear? You're wasting my stuff. You're, instead of saving, you are wasting my riches. And in verse 3, we can see a little bit how this man thinks. And he is really a thief. His mentality is that what I want in life, I cannot get it by deserving. I cannot. I want something that I cannot work for. So I cannot get it by working. And then to beg for it, why should I beg for it if I can steal it? So he thinks, and he goes to the people that owed money to his master, and he changes all the contracts, putting lower values, which means he helps the people that owed money to his master. I can imagine that the accusers were, ha-ha, now he's even more guilty. Now the master will throw him in jail. So now the time comes when this man meets the master. That's in verse 8. The master hears what this man did. And the master says, well done. You did well. And the master tells him, actually, you did my will. It was my will to lower the debt of the people that owed money to me. It was my will to give more to people. I am rich. And by stealing from me and giving to people, you did my will. So well done. Well done. So God is looking for administrators like this. For pastors like this. God tells me, how long will you be just and keep lists of what people owe to me? They don't pray enough. They are not mature enough. They don't come to church enough. They are not who they were supposed to be. You are just administrator. I want you to be an unjust administrator. I want you to steal from me. I have the storage room open, filled with love and promotion and grace and forgiveness, and you receive people and you love people. I want you to put your hands deep into my storage room and give to people. I don't want people to owe, to have debts in my kingdom. I want you to set them free and erase their debts. I don't want my church to be a place of saving. Let's save grace. Let's not waste grace. Let's not waste smiles. We only smile a little bit to people that deserve. This guy understood what only a thief can understand. We cannot make it through justice and through work, and let's deserve it and let's be good people. There is another guy in the Bible who wanted to be blessed by God. He knew he doesn't deserve it. So in his mind, he thought, I think he was helped by his mother. He thought, I can steal it. Blessing of God, I can steal it. And then God said, it was my will to give it to you. It's my will. Do we understand that we don't deserve it? And we have to think unjust like this. Not unjust like hitting people in the head. Unjust like you don't deserve it and I will give it to you anyway. To the flesh, the grace of God seems unjust. Seems like a theft. Because the flesh and blood, they want to earn, to deserve, to work hard, thinking that they will do it. Like these accusers that were accusing the man that he's wasting the riches of the master. But God says the only injustice is that my son died. So now when you know my heart, it's not theft anymore. It's grace. This is justice. The injustice of the master in the vineyard that gives the payment of a whole day to someone that worked only one day, 1 hour. And the other guys are, oh, this is injustice. They don't deserve it. And the master says, but it is my will. It is justice because it is my will, my heart. Is your eye evil? So now, who has a message? The accusers or the administrator? What's the message of the accusers? I don't know much about that message, but I can imagine. Like, you have to earn hard. The master, he's a hard master. He will judge you. What's the message of the administrator? The master, he's so rich. It is wide open. Come, enter, come and rejoice. There is plenty of forgiveness and of love. And one last thing. In the kingdom of Saul, everybody had debts. The IRS was working very well there. But the guys couldn't do it anymore. And all those that had debts came to David to be set free in a different kingdom where a different kingdom that doesn't work on debt and what you did and you have to pay for it. But it works on something that the world does not understand. They think it's injustice. But God says, my son died. Now this is my heart. It is well done, good and faithful administrator. Thank you for doing that. So we just rejoice in the riches of his blessings. Amen.
All right, would you please stand?
Position change. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Great men with great messages, amen?
Amen.
Great men with great messages. I'm going to read two verses. You'll be out of here in at least in the next 2 to 3 hours. No, I'm just joking. I want you to like think correctly right now. I think Richard Wurmbrand, he once had me preach right through lunchtime, and he said, I know you're hungry, but he said, I didn't have lunch for 17 years. I thought that was kind of unusual, you know, and have lunch. Create capacity, you know how it is. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I, and this is interesting, he's actually talking about in his personal life he's going to show them something, not just speak something, but show them something. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way, hyperbole, above and beyond. And then 1 Corinthians 13:5, the last three words about love. Thinks no evil. Say that. Thinks no evil. Father, thank you today. You have shown us, and the Apostle Paul has shown us, and men and women of God have shown us through the ages, and people here in Greater Grace Ministries have shown us a more excellent way. Not just told us, but have shown us. We thank you, God, for the examples of this more excellent way. Continue to bless this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My wife said to me, you're wearing a sport coat? I said, I don't know any better. She said, it gets hot up there. I said, I'll sweat. It's good. Anyway, this is a great portion of Scripture that Paul is going to personally show the Corinthians. Now remember, if you were to read the two Corinthian epistles, you would find approximately 90 times Paul addresses different situations and problems. If you don't believe me, just go through the whole book with a paper and pencil and write down every time he addresses a situation. A number of issues in the Corinthian church. And he knows the only way, and even mentions it in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I love you, the less you love me. Isn't that a great verse? The more I love you, the less you love me, but I will gladly give my life for people that do not respond. You know, sometimes we think about that, and I know that God responds because he initiates his life and his love towards us, and then we love him, and that's the response. If somebody else doesn't respond, I'm not that concerned about it. Doesn't really, you know, whatever. That's between them and God, you know. So if God is initiating to me and I'm responding to God, and somebody else doesn't respond in a horizontal ministry, it's okay because I'm having a great time with God. Amen. I'm having a great time with God. And I was thinking about Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 10. And you know the verse very well. My thoughts are not your thoughts, right? My ways are not your ways. Let's not concentrate first and foremost. If I could still jump or get up there, I would go above that sign. And that shows you the ways. But there's something above that. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. They're above thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And as rain coming down, he speaks about that. So the key is really in my thinking. In my thinking. In other words, if I am thinking in love, then my ways will be a more excellent way. Are you with me? If I'm thinking, that's how I'm thinking, and I'm mixing faith, which works by love, with my thinking, then I will do something and live a life that's the more excellent way. But it all has to do with thinking. If you read Genesis chapter 50, verses 17 through 19, Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive. I'm going to nourish you and comfort you, and I'm going to speak kindly to you. See, why was that happening? Because Joseph, it's not about the ways of Joseph, It's about how Joseph was what? Huh? Thinking. How Joseph was thinking all through that time. From the time he was, imagine from 17 years old till 110, he was 93 years in Egypt. But Joseph was thinking with God and thinking in agape love. So when it came time to express and make decisions, he could have the ways of love a more excellent way because of how he was thinking. Isn't that what Jeremiah says? I just said that. I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are not thoughts of evil. They are thoughts of good to give you an expected end. I know the thoughts I think towards you, God said through Jeremiah the prophet. I know the thoughts I think towards you, Israel. I know my thoughts. And I'm going to perform my good word towards you. And Paul says here, love never thinks evil. Love thinks no evil, not one time, never, no ever. And that's incredible because I need to have correct thinking, spiritual thinking, agape thinking in my life. You know, every single thing begins with a thought. If you see a person who has a drug problem, where do you think it began? Hello? Began with a thought. Casting down vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every what? Living by every word, every thought. So everything begins with a thought. A person took up an alternative lifestyle. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? It began with a what? It began with a thought. Every crime. I worked in prisons for 10 years. Every crime began with a what? With a thought. Had a thought. Before I got saved, I always wanted to rob an armored car. Thank God I got saved. I mean, I planned it. I had it all on manuscript and had the whole thing figured out. And then I was born again. I had the thought. It was just something intriguing to me to try to do that. I'm sorry. But it begins with a thought. It begins with a thought. Going on the mission field begins with a what? A thought. Jonah, when he went there, he had a thought from God, but they went there and his thinking changed. And a thought. And it's incredible that so often we are trying to deal with people's problems. And we never bring it to, not us, but most of the world. They have all these psychologists and psychiatrists and psychoanalysts and all these different people. And it really is to change people's what? Thoughts. They're thinking. They're thinking. My brother and I ran a counseling center for 10 years. We had every case you could ever think of in your life. And we bring them to the Bible to do their what? To change their what? Thinking that they would have the correct thoughts from God. Having thoughts from God. I remember one time, every time a woman came to my office, she talked about she's going to kill herself. This was like every week for about, 3 months. I'm going to kill myself. Today's the day I'm going to kill myself. So one day I heard, I was on the fifth floor. She was downstairs and they said she's coming up. She wants counseling. So I thought, I got a great idea. I opened the ledge of the window on the fifth floor and I got on the ledge. And she came in the office. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to kill myself. I said, you have so convinced me this is the right thing to do that I'm going to just jump off the ledge. She goes, no, don't do that. You don't want to kill yourself. I said, thank you. Now you say, what kind of counseling is that? I don't know. All I know, it worked. I one time had a man, we had a halfway house called the Life House. They called me up, the police were at the house. There's a guy standing in the middle of the living room with a knife to his throat, going to cut his throat. I come in, and I was running the house at the time. And the police didn't know what to do. Everybody's looking there. He won't let anybody come near. I said to him, James, his name was Jim. I said, could you do me one favor? You're going to kill yourself, right? He goes, yeah. I said, would you move into the bathroom and do it in the tub so I can wash the water down? And this will be easy because I just bought this rug. And this rug cost me $250. He got angry at me. He threw the knife down. You don't care about me. I said, grab him. That was a thought from God about how to handle situations. I'll never forget this guy. Wow. A thought. Changing people's thinking. I'm not talking about educational thinking. I'm not talking about natural thinking. I'm not talking about emotional thinking, presumptuous thinking, environmental thinking, circumstantial thinking, trial thinking, test thinking, problem thinking. I want to think with God. And love thinks no what? Evil. And that means I don't think evil about myself. Can you say hallelujah to that? Say that. I don't think anything. I never think negative about myself. And if I do, I just go to God. And I change my what? Thinking. Change my, people have are so scared of that word repentance. It's metanoia. It's so simple. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Love never thinks evil. No matter what situation is going on in my life, I'm not going to ever have an evil thought about my husband or my wife or my children or my situation or another member in the body of Christ. Isn't that good? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I'm not going to receive a projection from the atmosphere or a reflection from the old sin nature. Both of them are going to be killed off by the shield of faith. Not thinking. I want to think. I want to think love. I want to think about, no matter what. Well, I thought this was the plan. You thought this was the plan. That's the problem. Here's the plan. Love thinks no evil. And God loves me. And even, like, I love that idea about Jonah, that even the book was written and he was given this edification about his life as the prophet Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Even after all that, God is still using him as an example of life, thinking with God. And people, you know, they come from so many different avenues and so many different walks of life and ways of life and so many backgrounds and whatnot. And they just need to understand and think how much God loves them. It's a more excellent way. It produces a more excellent way. Are you with me? It produces a more excellent way. What do you think? I think God loves you in John 4, and you're going to be a great soul winner that will be responsible for the Acts 8 revival in Samaria. Here's how I think. You can have these demons come out of you, and you can be an evangelist to 10 cities. That's how God thinks. Amen? Woman caught in adultery? Here's what they think. Throw her down and let's stone her to death. Here's how God thinks. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Thinking with God. Thinking in love. Love never, one time ever, thinks evil. You say, I can't live up to that. Who asked you to? Just receive it. Receive it from God, from the Holy Spirit who sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Thinking with God. This is so important. Love thinks no evil. It's above and beyond. It's above and beyond. See that word hyperbole, above and beyond. This is the illustration. If I had the iPad, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't know how to do it, but above and beyond. It's above and beyond. You heard that message a long time ago, remember? Above and beyond. Can you do that? Above. Come on. Get some arm exercise. Above and beyond. Above and beyond. It's above thinking that takes you what? Beyond. I'm thinking above and it takes me beyond. And this is incredible.
You know what they said to me? You know what they did to me? Huh? No, I don't. And you ought not to think about it either. Can't believe it. Oh, you can't believe it. Why are these things happening in my life?
All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Amen. For which cause I faint not, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. For this light affliction is but for a moment and works for you a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory.
For we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. I'm thinking with God. I'm thinking with God. In the call of God. In the purpose of God. And He loves me. You don't like me? Doesn't matter. Oh, whatever. That doesn't really matter. Everybody at work hates me. What, hello? Work in a prison and see what that's like. The guards hated you more than the prisoners did. Oh, yeah. Who threats everybody. But I come in there with God's thinking. Thinking with God, which produces the ways of God, a more excellent way. And He loves us, and it's unchanging. It's unending. It's eternal. It's personal. It surpasses human love. You know, I preached a message one time about satanic substitute love. Satanic substitute love. There's a lot of substitute love out there that has nothing to do with God at all. It's all based upon the world system. And by the way, I've come to a conclusion there's no such thing as the world. I'm sorry. I mean, in this measure. The world has two sources. Satan and demons and the old sin nature. And it's created a system. The system is, the word cosmos is that which is an alienation from and an opposition to the life of God. That's a system created by the devil and demons and the old sin nature. That's what it is. That's what the world is. And yet, love thinks no what? Evil. Never thinks evil one time ever. No, never. I love that. When we heard that verse about love never fails, the Greek is amazing. The word ekpipto, love never fails. Not one time ever, no, never. That's what it says. Not one time ever, no, never. Love will never fail in a relationship. Love will never fail to solve problems in a church. Love will never fail. I can be secure in Christ instead of living in insecurity. Why do I have to live in insecurity? God has made me who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. And those who compare themselves among themselves are not what? Not wise. Let's just be people, as we close, who think in love. Amen? I'm going to let agape love do the thinking. My thinking can get all messed up. Anxiety comes in. Fear comes in. We had a message a while back, as I close, maybe again. And it was called living in the given, not living in shrinking thinking. You know the word ashamed means shrinking thinking? Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed, 3 times in 2 Timothy 1. Don't live in shrinking thinking. Live in what's been given. And what's been given is power, love, and a sound mind. God, help me to think. As I read my Bible, as I hear preaching, as I look to God, my thinking is being changed, not because of my own efforts, but because one who loves me gives me His mind. Can you imagine we have the mind of God? Let this mind be in you. You just have to let it. Isn't that interesting? You just have to let it. Let this mind be in you. Just receive how God thinks. And here's how He thinks. I love you. With an everlasting love that will never change. I don't care what you have done, what you're doing, what you're going to do, where you've been, it doesn't matter. Love thinks what? No evil. Father, thank you today. Thank you. It's above and beyond. It's above and beyond. Hyperbole. It exceeds, surpasses, has preeminence. It's extraordinary and excellent. This is God's love. We thank you today. We pray that you bless us constantly because you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But thank you for loving us. Thank you. Thank you. Joseph said you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph loved his brothers. Thank you. May your thoughts be our thoughts, and then your ways will be our ways. We thank you. Bless our day today. In Jesus' name, amen.